All right, well, I'm going to spend a few minutes now just walking you through what to expect today, because today is going to be a little bit different than our normal services. We're sort of in between this Sunday right now. Last Sunday, we finished up our study through the book of Joshua, and next Sunday, we'll kick off the fall with our fall series. And so because we knew we were going to have this open Sunday months ago, we said, what we want to do is we want to have a service that is really focused on prayer. Prayer is one of the greatest privileges that we have as believers in Jesus, that the Almighty God of the universe actually wants to hear from us. And because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross, he actually does listen to our prayers. But we wanted to have a service where it wasn't just us talking about prayer. We wanted to have a service where we pray together, where we pray as individuals. And we're going to have a model that will lead us through, sort of a structure that will lead us through this prayer service today. I'll put it up on the screen. It's just going to have four elements to it, and we're going to have different leaders up here leading through the different elements. In a few minutes, I'll lead us through the first part, which is just to pause. Often with prayer, we sort of rush in and start talking, and we're not quite sure what we're doing. We're going to take some time just to pause and right our spirits before God as we move into this. Then we're going to have some time for reflecting and rejoicing. That's going to be centered on a passage from God's word that we're going to get to respond to by reflecting on what God is saying to us through it, and then by rejoicing in how we respond to it. A will be a time where we ask God for stuff, which most of us are like, I'm good at that. I know how to ask God for stuff. But we're going to get a wider view of what that means, and then we'll end with the why, which is yield. And this is the idea of when we say to God, much like we have a yield sign on the way to our campus, where we say, I'm going to pause and I'm going to let you go first, where we're going to say to God, I'm letting you take priority. I have the things that I want, but I'm yielding, I'm deferring to you on this. And let me share with you a couple of hopes I have for this service today. The first hope that I have is that through praying with even a structure like this, I think a lot of us, we're daunted by prayer and we don't do it as much as we'd like to because we're not quite sure what to do. You don't have to use a formal structure, but for a lot of us, this helps. So you might end up saying, you know what, I'm gonna do this when I pray to God. I'm gonna start with a pause. I'm gonna read a passage. I'm gonna reflect and rejoice about it. I'm gonna ask God for the things on my heart, and then I'm gonna yield to him. Some of you might feel like this is very helpful in cultivating your own personal prayer life with the Lord. But the second thing that I'm really hoping for is that even if you have not prayed all week, one of the great things about this service is you will pray today. You're going to pray during this service. You're not just going to hear us talking about it. You're going to get to pray. And let me just read for you one verse. This is from Psalm 34, and it's verse 8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Part of what we're hoping is that through today, you really get a taste of how good it is to commune with God in prayer. I'm a pretty picky eater, but when Karina and I were first married, I was a much more picky eater. She was sort of baffled by some of the stuff that I said I didn't like, because maybe I tried it once as a kid and just assumed that was the end of the story. In fact, two things that at the beginning of our marriage I said I didn't like were tomatoes and and guacamole. Yeah. This is my last day as lead pastor here. Today, I can't have a sandwich or a burger if there's not a tomato on it. And if there's chips and no guac, I just get a little bit sad. The reason for this is because my wife, early in our marriage, said, why don't you just try? Why don't you just taste and see? I was missing out on a couple things that are really, really wonderful because I hadn't taken the time to really taste and see them. And man, I just really, really long today. My main prayer going into today is that we would taste how good it is. And we'd say, I want more of this. Like, why do I not pray more? I feel more joyful, less burdened, more hopeful for the future because of this time of prayer. And just also to prepare you, you're going to get a chance during this time of this prayer service not only to get to experience God's blessing through prayer, but you're also going to get a chance to be a blessing to others. Because multiple parts of the way that we respond in prayer through this service is going to be not just individual, but going to be group. Just so you know, there's going to be times where you're going to be told to stand, you're going to be told to gather, you're going to be told to say something out loud. You're going to get a chance not only to experience God's blessing, but to bless others. But the way we're going to start is with the pause. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to, in a real simple way, you're not going to hear a lot of words from me, but I'm just going to lead us through a time of pause. So you don't have to do this if you don't want, but for most of us, we're probably going to enter into this time just by bowing our heads and closing our eyes. And so I'm going to invite you to do that now. And here's the first. I'm going to have three elements of how we do this pause. Here's the first element of pause that I want us to take. I want you to pause, and I want you just to notice, what are the thoughts or burdens, the anxieties or the distractions that are right now rising to the top of your mind? Don't try to fight them. Let's just pause and let's notice. And now secondly, what I want to invite you to do is that now that you've noticed, in whatever way seems appropriate, I just want to ask you to invite God in to those anxieties, those thoughts, those distractions that rise to the top of your mind. And now finally, I want you just to take a minute and I want to invite you to imagine something good that God may have for you during this service where we're going to pray. Father, it feels a little bit presumptuous, but we're choosing right now to believe that when we come to you to pray, that you are not groaning or rolling your eyes, but that you smile when we approach you. That is because of your grace. That is because of the shed blood of Jesus and not because we've earned that. But we embrace that by faith right now. Father, help us to taste how good it is to pray, so that we'll want to keep coming back for more. We pause and we take this in as we enter into this time to bring our hearts to you. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. I may be a new face to majority of us in here. My name is Ethan Nolan, and I'm the 456 and Exit 83 coordinator. And today, I get the honor of walking us through what it looks like to reflect and rejoice in prayer, during which you'll have the opportunity for a moment of personal reflection and to later to out loud express rejoicing. So let's talk about reflect. According to the Oxford Dictionary of Languages, also known as Google, the definition of reflect is this: to think deeply or carefully about. to think deeply and carefully. Now, as I reflected upon this, what came to mind were the intimate thoughts of King David that he shares in Psalm 23, a psalm that most of us know and are aware of, but sometimes you look over, but it is so rich. So it says this in Psalm 23, verses 1 through 3. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. What is so prevalent about these verses is David is talking about God. Here we see him describing a recognition of God's movement in his life. He makes me lie down. He leads me. He refreshes my soul. He guides me all for his name's sake. So just as David did, let's take a moment for ourselves, a minute, to reflect silently in our hearts about what God has done in our lives just as David did. Now, let's talk about rejoice. You see, to rejoice is to experience or express great joy or gladness. We see this in the remainder of Psalm 23 and what David continues to say, verses 4 through 6. It says this, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Here we see something a little bit different. See, he's not just talking about God. He is now talking to him. When he says, "You are with me, your rod, your staff, you prepare, you anoint, and your goodness and your love." And so, as an act of rejoicing, would you stand with me? And the way we're going to do this is out loud expression, specifically within this phrase, "Lord, you fill in the blank." Few words. Now, this will be open for everyone, but let me start us off. Lord, you keep your promises.
You are always faithful.
Lord, you give me strength.
Lord, you protect me.
Lord, you understand.
Amen.
Lord, you are my rock.
Lord, you are my helper.
Lord, you are my hope.
Lord, you are faithful. Lord, you are all we need. Lord, you are good.
Lord, you redeem.
Lord, you forgive us.
Lord, you comfort.
Lord, you give me peace. Give me life.
Jesus Christ.
You see, we can go on and on. But here's what I want to encourage you to do. Let that rejoicing not stop. Let's keep up in that rejoicing in our declaration to the Lord. As we go into a time of worship through music, let that worship continue as we come boldly before the throne of God. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Have you ever seen something on TV where someone's praying where you could tell they don't pray a lot? It probably went something like this. God, are you there? I'm in trouble and I need your help. You see, I put a big bet on the Angels and they lost. And I owe a lot of money. And God, can you help me win the lottery so I could pay off my bookie? And if you do that, I promise I'll start coming to church more. And I'll even put a little in the offering plate. Now, that's pretty extreme, right? But haven't we all prayed something like that in the past? God, help me, I'm desperate. Can you bail me out here? And if you do, I promise this is what I'm gonna do. Is that how God wants us to approach prayer and asking? Let's look at what his word says. In 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15, we see, this is a confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. Isn't that great? We can ask anything and he hears us. Wait, was there one other thing in that verse? According to his will. So how do we know what God's will is? And how do we know we're in it? I want you to step back and think when you first accepted Jesus into your heart. Our lives change. The old self is dead. There's a new person now. We have the Holy Spirit within us. We're energized and we want to seek God and we want to learn. We're diving into his word. All of a sudden, our lifestyle's changing. We're listening and obeying God. We're trusting and depending on him. All of a sudden, our desires have changed. We want what God wants. We're being transformed. That's how we know we're in God's will. Because the Holy Spirit is molding us and just refining us and taking us to who God is. And that's where we're going to live. Yet, when we pray, have you been in a place where you want something so bad and you're praying for it, Lord, this is what I desire, yet it doesn't seem like anything's happening? You may want to see somebody healed. Maybe you're praying for a job that you really want, or you want to move. Everybody wants to get out of California. No, just kidding. Maybe it's a place where you're a family and you've wanted a child and God hasn't provided that child. We can still come to our Heavenly Father and say, Lord, this is my desire, but your will be done. And why can we do that? Because God has revealed himself to us through his word, through things that he's shown us in our life. We know that we can trust him. We know that he's in control. We know that he loves us. And we have the perfect example of this in Luke 22, verse 42. And this is where Jesus is in the garden. He knows his time is near. He's going to be betrayed. He knows that he's going to suffer. He knows that he's going to die. And this is what he says. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, your will be done. So Jesus is saying, God, if there's any other way, take this from me. But not my will, your will be done. And we know that Jesus acted in obedience to death, even death on a cross on our behalf. That's the perfect example that we have. We have a loving Father that we can come to, and we can be confident that he hears us. We can be confident that he has our best interest in mind, and we know that he's in control. So when we pray and we ask, let's come to our Heavenly Father in this manner. We're going to be transitioning right now into group prayer. And so at this point, what I would like you to do is gather around with the three or four around you. So just stand up right now, and you could start to gather with those around you. And I'm going to put some things that we can pray about right on the screen. And in that, this is an opportunity to raise your petitions and know that we can trust God and confidently come before us, and he hears us. So right here, we're going to start by personal requests. So I have three up there, and if God's leading you in some other way other than these three, let's just pray together on these right now. So take some time and do that. Go for it. All right, we're going to move into a time now. We're going to be praying for our church. Let's be praying for LBF right now, for our leaders, and for the different ministries that happen here on campus and even off campus. All right, I'm going to close us out here. Lord, I just thank you that we can come before you with confidence and know that you hear our prayers, Lord. Lord, thank you for revealing to us who you are. Lord, may we just trust and know that you're in control, and may we ask confidently. In Jesus' name, everybody said,
amen. Amen.
So this morning we've paused, we've reflected and rejoiced, we've asked, and now we come to the final movement in this beautiful dance of prayer, and that is we yield. P. Gregg describes this idea of yielding with three different powerful images. The first is an athlete lowering themselves in an ice bath. The second is a field of California poppies turning towards the sun. And the last is a clenched fist slowly opening. Let's all do that together. Let's just in your lab, just clench your fist for a minute. Just hold it tightly as you begin to feel the pressure. This fist represents all the things you're trying to control in life. Your career plans, your relationships, the timeline for your life, your expectations of how God should work. And yielding is slowly opening that fist. Let's do that together. This is sometimes a difficult process, opening that fist and releasing control to God. Now, here's kind of the counterintuitive thing about yielding. It's not passive resignation. It's not throwing up your hands and saying, whatever happens, happens. No, it's actually active trust. It's choosing to believe God's plans are better than yours, even when you can't see the full picture. It's, we've made our plans, but if you're not in it, we don't want it. I believe that yielding happens in four distinct ways. First, we yield to God's presence through prayer. We do this primarily through silent, reflective prayer. You know, those of us who grew up in the church, especially the American church, prayer means one thing. Starts with a dear and ends with an amen. Right? And it's us talking the entire time, talking to God the entire time, and we're done talking, the prayer's over. But what about simply resting in God's love? Those times in life where you've run out of words, you've asked for everything that you can think of, I think sometimes that's when the deepest prayer actually begins. Sometimes the most powerful prayers in our lives are ones that we don't even have the words, and we simply say, on earth as it is in heaven. And we truly mean it. The second is related. It's we yield to God's voice by listening. We can do this through reading scripture, listening to his word and how it impacts our life. But we can also do this through prayer, through having a conversation. And like with any good conversation, it's not just one person talking the entire time. There's times that we stop and we listen. I like this to think of, when's the last time that we stopped, asked God for something, and waited for a reply? What do you want to say to me? Not just what do you want from me, but truly, what it is, God, that you want to say to me because I'm listening. The third is we yield to God's holiness. And we do this humbly through confession, recognizing that we need God to forgive our sins. It's a prayer that sounds familiar. Forgive us of our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. We're surrendering our pride, our justification, our grudges. We're saying, God, your way is better than mine, and your forgiveness is better than my bitterness. Fourth and finally, we yield to God's power. And I think we do this by recognizing that we need God's power, recognizing that there's spiritual warfare at play. It's the prayer that sounds like, deliver us from evil. We acknowledge that there's battles that we can't fight alone. There's strongholds that we can't break alone. And there's lies that we believe, and we need God's truth. It's sometimes these battles happen in our own heart, and only in God's power can we overcome it. Here's the beautiful thing about yielding. It's by surrendering to God that we overcome, by emptying ourselves that we're filled, and by yielding our lives in prayer that our lives themselves become a prayer. I think Romans 12:1 really captures this perfectly. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. When we're yielding our whole lives to God, we're desiring our lives to reflect what it's like to worship Him. Think about that athlete who's lowering into an ice bath, right? Or maybe you've done it and you know that it hurts and it's uncomfortable and it's painful. It's not really what your body wants, but you do it because you know there's greater strength and recovery that comes from it. I think the question to us this morning is simple, but challenging. What do you need to yield to God today? What are you holding on to with that clenched fist that God is asking you to release? Maybe it's your life plan. Maybe it's a relationship that you're trying to control. Maybe it's an area of sin that you're justifying. And maybe it's just anxiety about the future or the unknown. Whatever it is, God is inviting you to open that fist. I'm going to lead us in a responsive prayer of leading, of yielding. I'm going to read a line, and I'm going to encourage you to respond with, "We yield to you, Lord." God, we surrender our plans and our timelines. We release our need to control outcomes and trust your timing. We confess the areas of our lives we've been running ahead of you. We offer our dreams, our relationships, and our future.
We yield to you, Lord.
We open our clenched fist and turn our hearts towards your will.
We yield to you, Lord.
Like poppies turning toward the sun, we turn our faces towards you. Now we're going to participate in another element of prayer, and I'm going to invite you to spend 3 minutes in silent, reflective prayer. This isn't a time for request, or maybe even a time for words. This is truly just being present with God. Some of you might feel the Holy Spirit highlighting something specific for you right now, something that you know you need to surrender. It's been on your heart from the moment that we talked about yielding something. Others might just simply experience some part of God's love or His presence without any agenda. Both, I think, are beautiful. You know, I can recognize that sitting in silence for 3 minutes in a room of several hundred people is uncomfortable and it's challenging. Like, how are we all staying silent for so long? You know, like, I have to cough. What am I going to do? But the thing is about spending 3 minutes in silent prayer, 3 minutes is about the length of a song, a little bit less than a worship song. But to me, I think it's important that we look at it like that. This is a moment that we're not just going to receive something or download more information, but this is a moment, much like worship, that we're going to receive what God has for us this morning. As we enter this time, I just want to encourage you to let your breathing slow down. If thoughts come, don't fight the thoughts. Just let them pass like clouds across the sky and focus on God's presence with you. Let's begin our time of silent prayer. All right. In just a moment, we're going to stand together, respond to God and worship. But before we do that, I want you to know that whatever it is that you surrendered to God, whatever it is that you came to him in the silence and yielded to him, I want you to know that he received it. He sees your heart and he honors your attempt to let go of control. The beautiful thing about yielding is it's not a one-time event. As you know, and I can promise you, there'll be plenty of things for you to clench your fist around today, tomorrow, and the next day. But it also means that you have opportunities again today, tomorrow, and the next day to release your clenched fist, to give it to God, and to turn like a field of poppies to the sun. Would you stand with me as we continue through worship?